Chapter 113. Ron and Sandy's point of view was firmly trounced. It was defeated without comment. Leon Stavros felt quietly victorious at her defeat. Since she had refused to work with him, he sabotaged her. He did not work publicly against her, but he did circulate a response of compliance that placed him in a good light after the inevitable defeat happened. Sandy was angry and directed her feelings of anger toward Stavros by avoiding him when at all possible. She and Ron worked out an agreement that he would spend mornings at his Summit offices and she would use his offices at Hill's. Leon went to lunch at the same time each day, and that is when Sandy would come to her suite of offices that adjoined his. At this point, Sandy would schedule one of her committee meetings to extend past the time that Leon left for the day. Sandy would then work into the early evening in her offices. Intersection at board meetings and district council meetings were inevitable. These interactions were always done in cool, professional tones. Alignment lines were drawn among the members of the council and among board members. Sandy knew and managed the nuts and bolts of district operations. Leon cultivated his relationships with the building principals. The way the administrative structure had been aligned by McTavish, Ron and Bill had control of curriculum. They were the experts. Principals managed most other aspects of their buildings with complete control of the building itself. When everyone was on board with each other, it ran like a corporate machine. Now the machine was straining in separate directions while it worked. The key to this balance was the relationship between Dirk Willamore, Summit's principal, and Sandy. Dirk had been passed over as well. He and Sandy had agreed that each of them had fine qualities and deserved the job. Now that was behind them. Every 2 weeks, Sandy, Ron, Bill, Leon, Audie, and Dirk met in the conference room, where they were joined by Hector Gonzalez, the school business administrator. The meetings could last for several hours. Other administrators would be invited to join from time to time, but this was the room where it happened. Hector kept the minutes of these meetings. Hector was a proud Spanish man who bristled at his suggestion that he was Hispanic and made sure to correct any such indignity whenever it arose. He was also a juggler of numbers without equal. He was McTavish's money man. Leon would chair the meeting. Ron was at the top of the agenda with an item for review, discussion, and implementation. He and Bill had worked out the proposal, but Bill asked Ron to make the presentation. "We have to make curricular changes to implement these new testing benchmark requirements. Some students who are obviously proficient must not have their schedules impacted by the demands of standardized test prep that they do not need. But the state does not specifically say how standardized test prep will be demonstrated. Bill and I have taken a creative approach and developed a district test that we can administer to all of our students at one time. That will give us all the test preparation that we need." Ron passed out copies of the tests that he and Bill had created. Hector did not even open his copy. "What norms and variable spectrum did you use to calculate your little test?" Bill leaned forward and answered smoothly, "I have all of those graphs and charts right here, Hector. I did not want to bore everyone by duplicating that formula, but if you look at the first addendum, you'll see what you need." Bill had a soothing manner, and his math skills were respected and sometimes leaned on by Hector. So Hector nodded and was satisfied. That had his vote. Audie said, "I don't think we learn enough by giving them one test one time. We are going to be vulnerable in the community if our scores come back lacking." He looked directly at Leon. "We will seem to be a failing school, and we'll have a harder time passing the budget." Leon nodded. "That's a consideration. Lots of things depend upon the budget. We have to look strong." Sandy said, "I think we are looking strong and independent. We are acknowledging a directive from the state and standing by our principles at the same time." "Your principles," said Audie, "are why we are now in the mess." Sandy leaned forward and stared hard into Audie's face. "Are you saying that you have different principles, Audie?" She looked him up and down and deadly serious. Ron thought that at that moment, Audie must have felt like she would slice off his penis and feed it to whatever animals that wanted it. He had begun to sweat. Audie stammered, "I just mean that some kids may need to be tested more." Ron was about to speak, and Sandy knew it, caught his eye, and imperceptibly blinked no. "We will identify those who don't meet the standards and offer them." She looked at Audie like she was trying to be sympathetic, but wasn't. She said slowly, biting off the word, "Remediation."